Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Our subject today is whatever you ask. And the Bible text is from Mark chapter 11, verses 20 to 24. Here it says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you will have them.'" Amen.
Amen.
These verses present us with a problem. Who has never prayed for something and believed that they will get it, and you prayed and it didn't happen? It says, "Whatever you ask, you shall have them." But the problem is that we often take things out of context. What did Jesus actually mean? What did he say? What did he try to teach us? Jesus is teaching an important lesson on faith and prayer and the power of God. Let's go back and recapitulate and see the context. The day before Jesus made this statement about whoever says to this mountain, Jesus had approached the fig tree expecting to get some fruit. But to his dismay, there was no fruit on the tree. So Jesus cursed the fig tree and said, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the next day, as they were passing this same fig tree, the disciples saw the fig tree had withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." The disciples were amazed at two things. One was the power of the word of Jesus, and second was how fast the speed of the tree that withered. It's at this point that Jesus said, "Have faith in God." The first title is prayer and faith. The first condition to prayer is faith in God. There are 4 points to this. First, Jesus never said, "Have faith." Jesus didn't say, "Have faith." He said, "Have faith in God." Because faith must have an object. In God is where we trust and have faith. Faith in itself has no value. It's nothing. Only the object, which is God, has value. The Bible never says, "Have faith in faith." But that is what many Christians experience. Too many times, big difficulties come into their lives, and the believer believes he has to arouse his faith. They think if they just can get enough faith, they will destroy the problem. But in reality, that is only faith in faith. His mind, his attention, his heart is focused upon faith and not upon God. Faith has no power. It's the object that has power. A man's faith is not going to remove mountains. God is going to remove the mountain. The strength of faith is not faith. The strength of faith is God. In the Bible, everyone who came to God, to Jesus, came with weak faith. Only few had strong faith. Yet God saved them and granted them their requests. Faith requires to know the object. The more you know the object of faith, the more you believe in the object. For example, two men went to fish on a frozen lake. One man had to go ahead across the lake, and his friend assured him that surely the ice will carry him. So he began to step out on the ice. He cautiously and trembling puts one foot to the other, one step ahead, and then fear grips him and he goes back to the shore as quick as possible. The other man walks out courageously and boldly, cuts a hole in the ice and sits down and begins to fish. The question: what supported the man sitting on the ice? It was not his faith. It was the ice which was the object of his faith. And who had the strongest faith? Of course, the man on the ice. The man with the weakest faith is the one who slowly withdrew back to safety. So what made the difference between the two? Only one thing. The man on the ice, he knew ice. But the man who went back to the shore, he didn't know ice. So we have to know the object. What do we put our trust in? A second fact to know about faith is the purpose. The purpose of faith is to remove mountains. Jesus, his teaching is, have faith in God and then say to the mountain, be removed. Mountains represent the immovable, the impossible. It's something too steep to climb, too high to cross, and too impressive to go beyond. This is the reason Jesus discussed prayer and communion along with faith. You can learn to have faith in God as you pray and commune with God. The more you pray and commune with God, the more you will get to know God. The more you know God, you can experience faith in God and experience the removal of the mountains. Jews understood very well what Jesus said, because it was a Jewish idiom meaning to remove difficulties. So they said, we remove mountains, we remove difficulties. The greatest difficulty in your life can be removed by faith in God. The third fact to note about faith is the way to possess faith. How do you get faith? The way is prayer. Jesus explicitly says, whoever shall not doubt, but shall believe, that those things that he said, shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. There are two difficult points about this promise. The first is no doubting at all. You cannot doubt at all. This means never having a thought whether a thing will work or not. It means not to hesitate, nor wondering, no questioning, no considering. Only God himself knows if a thing will happen or not. He knows so perfectly that no wandering thought would ever cross his mind. What Jesus wants of us is that we grow in belief and trust. Remember when Jesus was on the lake and the waves were there, the disciples said, Lord, we shall drown. And he says, why do you have so little faith? Just, I am here. He wants us to believe that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. The second point is believing in God's authority. Know that the words, whatever he says, whoever says, the power of Jesus came from the authority of God. All he had to do was to say that is to speak the word, and it was done. Jesus never had to say, oh, pray. No, he said something, and it was done. That was the very point he was making to us. If we believe and no doubt, then we stand in the authority of God. We may speak the word, and it shall be done. Praise the Lord. A fourth point is a result of faith. A person who prays, having faith, truly having real faith in God, has whatever he says. The mountains that confront you will be removed effectively and quickly. I will give you a few Bible verses about praying and the answer to pray. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. John 14, verses 12 to 14. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, it will be done. Psalm 91:15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I deliver him and honor him. And Isaiah Chapter 41, 17. The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear you. I, the Lord, God of Israel, I will not forsake you. Praying together also has big impact. It says in the Old Testament that every word must be established by two or three witnesses. And so Jesus said in Matthew 18, 19, again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Two or three together. That is why church is important. Prayer meetings are important. Where two or three come together. Another condition for prayer is expectancy. You must believe and expect the answer of your prayer. You must be confident. You must be assured. You must anticipate and look for the answer. The exact words of Jesus are interesting. Say, it will be done. So, expectancy involves your whole being. This expectancy desires, asks, and believes. James chapter 1, verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven by and tossed by the wind. Another condition of prayer is forgiveness. This is a critical condition in prayer. Jesus stressed this again and again. It is no good if you pray with an unforgiving heart. When you pray, you must always forgive those who have wronged you. Hard feelings or anger against a person is sin. It is evidence that we have not fully turned from our sins and are not really sincere in seeking forgiveness. Jesus said that no request for forgiveness is granted unless you have completely forgiven others. So whatever you ask, you shall have. That has to do with faith in God. You cannot separate prayer, communion, and faith. Remember, it is not faith that grants you the request. It's the object. It's God that is giving the answer. Faith alone is dead. You can believe the things will happen in a sense of, I believe it will be good weather tomorrow. I believe something is going to happen. But that is not faith. That's a different thing. That has nothing to do with God. James said in chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Therefore, faith alone is nothing. The point is, you must believe in God. Jesus said, believe in God. All prayer and faith stand on this point to believe in God. All answers to prayer are coming from God. Yet you must stand on the promise that God answers prayer by faith. Somebody said, the blessed Lord and his word, he is a good God, and he will never refrain from giving good gifts to us. And Kenneth Hagin, he said, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. The Bible says, I believe it, that settles it. The Bible says, pray and you shall have. So, I believe that, it's done. So, we must put our prayers like that, with the expectancy that what God says, He will do, because God never lies. Amen.